Chuck Chat Freestyle for April 19th, 2009. This is Chuck Tomasi, and this is my audio blog, which you probably don't hear from in a very long time, or fairly long time. Thought maybe it was time to slow down. The sign just said 55. I'm going through Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, which seems to be the construction capital of Wisconsin. There's always construction going on here. I just passed exit 101, and it is 4:04 a.m. Two numbers which I seem to have a fascination with, if you've noticed. If you've been to my Facebook page, you notice I stick pictures of those on anytime I see a license plate or a room number or a sign or something that has those numbers. It's pretty fun. So 101 from Technorama, obviously, for those of you who listen to that. And 404, if you've ever been on the internet and haven't found a page, that is the HTTP return error code for a page not found, or many other things. So what am I doing driving through Fond du Lac at 4 in the morning? I am on my way to Milwaukee so that I may travel out to the West Coast, to the San Francisco Bay Area, to teach the National Park Service how to podcast. I'm part of a team that is doing that. Very excited about that. They asked me a couple months ago, got the calendar and everything set up. And originally I was supposed to leave Saturday morning. But Friday night, I was talking with the family, and Lisa has two very important Saturdays in her karate agenda. She's been taking karate for 3 years and has been a black belt candidate since the end of February. She's been in intense training every Saturday and sometimes Friday nights. And these during the period from end of February to beginning of April, you are allowed one miss for injury or for a family vacation or for illness or what have you. And she took hers on the 3rd, Saturday the 3rd, and then they had Easter off. So we had a complete Easter break, had a wonderful family vacation down to Florida, went to SeaWorld, went to Universal Studios and their sister park, Islands of Adventure, Discovery Cove, and Disney's Blizzard Beach. So a lot of fun, great family vacation, lots of pictures on Facebook again. I've been doing a lot of traffic over there, so if you want to keep up on some of the personal stuff, that's a great place to catch me. But anyway, she's got these two Saturdays. Yesterday was called Extreme Day, which is extremely long, and it begins with a 2-mile run that you have to complete in under 25 minutes. For the second degree black belts, I believe it's 20 minutes, or the adults, it's 20 minutes. I forget which one. But I ran with her. I've been doing that the last couple of times. Well, construction's over. I'm going to get back up to 65 miles an hour. It's not the best of days. It's only 45 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, what, about 7 Celsius, as opposed to yesterday when it was about 74 or 22, 23 degrees Celsius. So it's a little cooler this morning, but that's all right. It'll warm up by the end of the week when I get back. And I'm really glad that I stuck around. And Friday night I changed all the flight schedules. And although it cost $28 more in flights, it was 2 hotel days saved. And glad I could take care of that. Because she needed the moral support yesterday. It was very difficult at times, very trying. I ran with her on the track. We made her time in 21 minutes, 39 seconds. She got a few stitches in the side. So we walked a bit and then we ran. But she crushed her old time of, what was it, 23:40 or something. So got a couple minutes faster, which is good. Like to see improvement. She's officially in volleyball at school, doing that after school every day, or almost every day. and doing very well. So the two are working well together. She's a very physical, very athletic person, very slender at 13, which is nice. Counter to what she was born at, 9 pounds 6 ounces, as a big old football sausage, whatever. She's a, but very proud of her. She did very well at the end of extreme day. I mean, it was a 4.5 hour karate workout, almost 5 hours, and very endurance testing, and the last hour was sparring. And they had 6 black belt instructors up there. The first part, they sparred each other. Then they started sparring other black belt candidates. And then they sparred the instructors. And you know, the first couple, the real test was that they wanted to push these kids to their limits, beyond their limits, and give them a feel of what it was to be in a fearful situation. The instructors were not out to harm the children in any way. They were just, some of them were getting backed into a corner and they curled up and were very defensive. They wanted them to get on the offense and fight their way out of that situation, still using the techniques and the tactics that that they learned for the last 3 years. And Lisa took a few punches, and in the first 2 or 3 rounds, you know, came back with a few tears in her eyes. We had heard this was going to happen, and she was anxious about the situation. You know, I gave her a pep talk when she came back and sat down. And the next few rounds, she did very well. The last one, she had a bit of an accident. She was throwing a punch, and it was deflected by one of the adult instructors, and popped her shoulder. Not seriously, she'll be okay in a few days, but fortunately she didn't have any more work or workout or calisthenics or anything to do. It was over. She's got some ice, she's got some painkillers, and we'll do a little physical therapy throughout the week. So very hopeful that she'll be okay for test day, which is her next big day, the official test. Won't be quite as long, won't be quite as intense as extreme day, probably a total of 3 hours, which is still longer than any normal class of 1 hour or 45 minutes that the kids usually do, and a little longer than their normal karate black belt candidate workouts. So very proud of her that she held up for that. And now I've got insight as to what to expect for my extreme day, as I will be going for black belt testing in the fall, barring any injuries or health reasons, travel reasons, work related, whatever it happens to be. I do have a little bit of wiggle room, which is why I'm able to take this trip and the family vacation, because there is a certain attendance level that you have to have throughout the whole 3 years. You can't just go once a month or something. It's a minimum of twice a week to be able to be promoted to the next belt, and then you have to have, as I said, a certain amount of discipline and attendance for the candidate training, which comes around once every 6 months. So my 6 months will be in the fall. Very much looking forward to it. That'll begin right after Labor Day. I will be going to Dragon Con if anybody's going to be there. Look forward to seeing you. Other news from the family front. Julie is an official member of the Key Club. She's been attending for a while. She got her pin. She got her, certificate this week. She's got a t-shirt she wears it very proudly. Very proud of her academic achievements. She had a wonderful report card, as did Lisa. Her grades were a little difficult the first and second quarter, but she's pulled those right up. Very proud of what both girls have done academically thus far. So as a parent, I couldn't be happier. Neither of them are in any kind of trouble. They're both very well behaved. Do they have their quirks? Yes. Lisa's a little difficult to get started in the morning, so is her mom. But the good far, far outweigh the bad. And I left them a note as they were sleeping at 3:30 when I left home. That I love them both very much, and I'm very proud of what they've done. My return flight comes back on a red eye right after class ends on Friday afternoon. I've got to get back on a plane and catch the red eye. We'll be back 7 a.m. on Saturday back in Milwaukee, and then drive back to Appleton. Hopefully there won't be any delays, and I don't know what kind of condition I'll be in, but I do intend to catch a karate class. It's going to be tight on the schedule because it is just about 2 hours from the time the plane lands to the time I get to Appleton. I don't have my karate gear with me, so depending on time, depending on what condition I'm in, I don't have any luggage to check, so I don't have to stop at the carousel for that. I don't have a rental car to return. It's pretty much going to be get off the plane, get to the van, and go. Hopefully the van will start this time, as last Monday when we got back to Milwaukee from our family vacation, the battery was dead because someone left the dome light on. There's a new one to add to the family checklist when you get out of a vehicle at a parking garage. Not only do you make sure the doors are locked and you have your wallet and all the luggage and money and tickets and everything else, but make sure all the lights are off. That was, fortunately, the parking garage has a service that comes around. They've got jumper cables. They've got, I suspect they've got a key unlocking service, what have you, to help out the hundreds of cars that are parked in their multi-tiered parking garage. That was the first time I had to utilize the service, and very appreciative for it. Gave the man a nice little tip. Although they don't charge for the service, they do take tips. So this week is going to be podcasting time. I've got my presentation all worked out. I cover the audio portion. Another gentleman from the National Park Service is going to be covering the video. And this is an interesting class. 20-25 people. They will be using Podcasting for Dummies as part of the text. It's expected that everybody will have some level of knowledge. The reason I say it's interesting is because the Park Service has, I forget the exact term, but it's an interpretive program where if you've ever been to Alcatraz or the Grand Canyon or some guided tour by the park rangers, they don't just give you the facts of the situation, the raw information. They give you the interpreted information, and they work very hard at that. They've got an internal program that I don't have to focus real hard on the driving but I am somewhat distracted. There's probably three cars in sight, and I can see a mile forward and a mile backwards. But I do like to, if you hear the stuttering, it's partly because of the hour of the day, and partly because the driving. I want to make sure that I'm not drifting off or miss an exit or something, although I'm in the middle of nowhere. One of the few rest areas coming up. I don't think I need to rest. I don't have any caffeine in the system. But getting back to the Park Service, yeah, this interpreter program gives them more qualifications to do audio or video podcasts. I'm very excited to see what they turn out. Very much looking forward to their products. They've had a bit of an uphill battle to get this going because the Park Service is very picky about how they brand their brand, how they represent themselves. They have a branding department that is very regimented, very, very strict in terms of what can be put out there in print, in audio, in video. If you've If you've ever looked at videos from Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon or any of the other national parks in the U.S., you know that it is very well done, very well produced, very consistent. And podcasting kind of flies in the face of that. But I think it will give listeners or viewers a better feel for places they've been or places they're looking to go, current conditions. I remember looking at a video from Yellowstone, and it was very fascinating. Of course, pictures never do justice to some of these magnificent places. I've had the good fortune to have gone to both of those, Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon. And you watch the videos to sort of think about where you want to go, what you'll have time to see. And they even flash through some of the times of year. And it looks very beautiful to go to Yellowstone in the winter and see the steam rising from the geysers, as opposed to just being hot springs, and the snow covering and the different wildlife that are moving through the park. I would love to see that more in real time, maybe on a weekly or a monthly basis, and hear the latest conditions from the ranger and maybe some interesting anecdotes. Being in a similar position, it's a never-ending learning process to be a guide, to be a leader of a group, because somebody from somewhere always has some fact or piece of information or has experienced firsthand what you're sharing with them that they can lend something to that. And again, I really look forward to hearing some of those stories and sharing my knowledge, the technology end of it, what it takes to make a podcast and produce it, post it. If they want to just do a straight oratory monologue, such as this one, or Richard Vogt's Naked Englishman, or if they want to get a little more polished and produced with fly-in graphics on a video screen for the video podcasts, or some bumpers and sweepers and stingers for a little longer production. You know, that's what I'm there to share with them, all of those elements. Speaking of podcasts, I know the listenership to this one isn't as broad as some of my other ones, but April, as you're aware, has been very busy personally. I already mentioned this trip and the trip to Florida with the family. So there hasn't been a whole lot of Gmail or radio yesterday. Apologize. Maybe this trip will give me some opportunity to write some of the scripts. There's been some wonderful things coming out from Gmail that I really, really want to get into the podcast. I had a bit of bad news early in the month. These podcasts are part of the Farpoint Media family. We joined that in early 2007. There was an opportunity to earn some revenue, which is always good to offset the costs. There's, you know, new gadgets to buy, trips to take. And until the end of 2008, we really didn't see any... You know, it was 2 years of faith. The good news is it helped cut our operational costs just from moving our file hosting from Libsyn to Farpoint. Eliminated or greatly reduced that cost. I think I still have some files out there. I'm paying $5 a month. Big deal for some of the archives. I may migrate those eventually and just cancel that. The bad news is that we just didn't see any revenue. Well, we ran some ads, as you may be aware, in late 2008, early 2009 on Technorama and Gmail. However, we were not fully compliant. We had to have an ad on the site. We had to have drop-in ads in the audio content and a link in the show notes. And unfortunately, we forgot a link in the show notes. There was no negotiating. And we missed earning a considerable sum of money. So it was a painful pocket lesson to learn. And we'd like to see if we could rectify that and help save the family budget from paying for Dragon Con or some of these other things. So the good news is Technorama's weekly show will be coming back. I've got permission from Donna to spend time on Sunday nights. Craig and I have talked about what we want to change in the show, we want to keep in the show. Still going to be the same Technorama flavor. So May is going to be a bit more podcast producing for me. I will be doing some Gmail writing on this trip. Get some radio yesterday created, which is almost no time, roughly 15 minutes of effort start to finish per show, because it is reproduced old-time radio content. All I'm doing is sticking a tag on the front, uploading it, writing a short snippet in the blog, and done. So that doesn't take a whole lot of time. Gmail, for each 5-minute podcast, it's about an hour from start to finish, including all the scripting. So, Technorama, looking forward to it. We're going to try and hold the show to 30 minutes rather than 45. We're going to cut out some of the elements that took more time to produce, like On This Day in Tech History. Intros will only be done when we're inspired to do so and when we have the time, which I suspect will start out slow, but we'll get more creative as time goes by once we get in that mindset. Those can take some time, and Craig is very talented and has the bandwidth in most cases to do that. We are touching up the website. He's got a prototype reface on there right now. If you want to go have a look, we're tweaking with the logo. It will still be the same Technorama with all the silly stuff about the guy who steampunked his car and crazy news from I like to refer to it as Jon Stewart's Daily Show of the tech, science, and sci-fi world. We are planning at this point to start the first show on May 10th, following the Star Trek new movie introduction. So that means I've got some homework to do. I've got to see that movie on that weekend. And with any luck, we'll have a local in-studio guest that I just hooked up with. He found me on Facebook, I think it was. We had lunch last week. He's an avid Star Trek fan. Got some unique prop items, either originals or from the original series, or replicas that he has made. So I'd be curious to see some of those. If he's so inclined to bring them into the studio, we'll try to get Ustream up and running. Between now and then, I've got to get the mixer fixed. It's got a switch problem, which is a pretty big problem when it comes to Skype. And I need to figure out how to get Tom to hear. No, I've got some technical issues to work on. I'll save it at that. So Technorama is coming back. Very excited about that. We put an audio promo out there. An idea that I got while listening to terrestrial radio in the Orlando area. And then just released that. So go to Twitter and Facebook about that probably tonight when I get to San Francisco and have a little bit of breathing time, depending on what condition I'm in. It's uploaded. I told the Farpoint crew, got a good reaction from them last night that Technorama's coming back. They like the 30-second promo to let everybody know we are coming back. And very happy about that. Very happy about that. And again, it will give us an opportunity to earn some non-trivial amounts of revenue, shall we say. I was rather stunned. In fact, the bad news happened on April 1st, so I didn't believe it. I thought maybe somebody was trying to pull our leg and say, hey, you know, you would have earned this much if you had show note links. And I said, get out. And then a couple days later, I said, no, that's the honest truth. You The advertiser was really interested in having you and is interested in doing it again. It is the same campaign that we're going to be running for Go to My PC, which is a brand from Citrix. Good product. I'm not trying to tout it too much. I've known about them for years. I would like to see other companies start getting involved. Seems like the same two or three are advertising on podcasts. You hear the same, not the same ads, but the same three companies: GoDaddy, Go to My PC, and Audible.com. I think Scott Sigler has gotten in with Sony on some headphones and things. That's great. Still a bit of tech slant because podcasting is still a tech. Some people that are tech savvy. Oh, somebody with their flashers on. Hope everything's all right. 4:30 in the morning. It's not a good time to be broken down on US 41 in the middle of nowhere. Sorry, buddy. I got a flight to catch. Otherwise, I'd stop and see how you're doing. So I'd like to see some other advertisers step into this space. I'm not thinking that Crest or Kimberly-Clark or some of these other brands are going to be big into this, but maybe Kimberly-Clark can advertise diapers on the MommyCast or something. But there's still a huge untapped potential there, and I think the long-term podcasters like me have seen a number of changes and are I'm not opposed to hearing a 60-second spot in a podcast. I think the audiences are mature enough. In the first year or maybe even two, there was a grassroots feeling of, no, we're not radio, no, we're not going to go there. But people started feeling the financial weight of producing and upgrading and maintaining, and said, hey, you know what, if I can earn a few hundred bucks a month doing this, keeps the spouse happy, keeps your tech fix going, and the audiences have learned to accept it. In fact, I think some, now that a lot more, shall we say, commercial podcasts are out there. I'm thinking CNN, NPR, ESPN, ABC from Australia, BBC. They're becoming more accepting. In fact, they're drawing in a whole lot of listeners that us early independents, shall we say, have learned to take advantage of. That came out wrong, but leverage to adopt. And really, I'm glad to see it. I like where podcasting is going. I hope that I can continue to do it. And I enjoy bringing it to you. And I'm glad that Technorama is coming back. Craig is glad. We'll see how long it goes. If family commitments interrupt again, we'll have to see how it goes. We're going to play it by ear. But for now, we're going to keep the show a little shorter, a little less time to produce. And that should be a fair compromise. So I will try to give you weekly updates. I've got the H2 with me. Love this device. Thank you, T. Morris, for giving it to, for donating this last August at the New Media Expo. There's likely not to be any more New Media Expo, so I've turned my focus to Dragon Con. That is going to be an intense 3 or 4 days. Craig is trying to line up an audio tour with Coca-Cola, which should be interesting. Got a couple other things that I need to finish lining up. Looking at getting a tour of Fermilab, Pierce Manufacturing, who makes fire trucks here in Appleton, and we'll see what else we can get for you. But some of those things are still on the drawing board. And until next time, hopefully not too far away, 101.